Eagles Entertainment.
Anything that moves, I don't care who it is. Let's go. Give me everything you got. Play fast, play hard. Let's beat these boys tonight in their house.
It's party time. It's party time. Dad, here we go.
Touchdown!
You are listening to the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. Now here's your host, Fran Duffy.
That's right, another day. We're going to talk Jason Kelce as the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast continues. I'm Fran Duffy, and as always, I think we've got a great show for you here on episode number 522. At the top of today's show, we've got Chalk Talk, where I catch up with my good friend Chris McPherson to talk through the career of Jason Kelce. Monday afternoon, Jason Kelce announcing his retirement from the National Football League. So I thought that rather than doing a combine preview right away, I just got off the plane from Indianapolis on Monday. Let's wait a little bit for that. We'll touch on that in a few days. I think now let's take a little bit of a breath and talk through Jason Kelce and the impact that he had, not just on the Eagles, but on the NFL, on the position, obviously a future Hall of Famer, and we'll talk through all the reasons why. Before we get into that with C-Mac, make sure you head over to Apple Podcasts, rate, review, subscribe, check out all of the great Jason Kelce content. If you want to feel nostalgic, if you want to relive some of those memories, and there's so much content out there right now over on the Philadelphia Eagles app, the Eagles social pages, over on YouTube, so much that you can take in from Jason Kelce's career here in Philadelphia. That said, let's get into it now with C-Mac. It's time for Chalk Talk.
Let's get down to business. It's time for Chalk Talk.
All right, well, like I said, it's time now for Chalk Talk as I welcome in Chris McPherson to talk through the big announcement on Monday as the Eagles start a new week. We're a week away from the new league year. Jason Kelce officially announces his retirement after 13 seasons here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's actually about 24 hours since the end of the emotional press conference that had pretty much everyone in the Eagles organization, fans around the world, in tears. You know, we knew that this time would come.
Yep.
I actually recall, I don't know if you recall this, Fran, but we were in Cleveland two training camps ago, joint practices.
Yep.
We were coming back from one of the practices, and on the bus, you could overhear a conversation between Kelce and Fletcher Cox. And they were talking about the future and what retirement's going to be like. And it was one of those things, like, you don't want to see this day come. You know it's going to happen. You know all good things come to an end. But the biggest thing is, I'm happy to see Jason go out on top. And everyone might be saying, well, the way the season ended, I'm like, he is going out as the best center in the NFL. Your YouTube piece from during the season immaculately made the argument for that he could arguably be the greatest center in NFL history. I'm just so happy to see him go out on his terms. You know, everyone would say, oh, it'd be great if he got to go out with a Super Bowl win, this and that. But Jason, go to his Twitter bio and you're coming for a dose of real.
Yeah.
And real life is, things aren't going to always play out the way. You're not going to always have that Hollywood ending. And I think it's just very fitting from that standpoint that Jason, while he doesn't get the team accolades, he gets the individual honors, and people from all around the NFL community, the sports community, the First Lady of the United States chimed in on Jason Kelce's retirement. I mean, that's the impact that he had. And Philadelphia is the rare market, the rare city where someone like a Jason Kelce, an underdog offensive lineman, typically the positions that are seen but never heard, you know, you only talk about them when they're committing a false start penalty or holding penalty during a game, that he could become the biggest celebrity on the football team.
You know, he spoke for just about 45 minutes on Monday and covered so much ground over that time. And, you know, anytime you hear him talk about his relationship with the fans, it's outstanding. He's done that mm-hmm. numerous times over the years, especially over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. And I thought the way that he was able to intertwine his relationship with the fans with the relationship with his brother, with Travis, it just just beautifully written, number one. Everything that he did over the 45 minutes was just outstanding. And Obviously extremely genuine, extremely heartfelt. And I got emotional several times. It was kind of unique because I got my plane landed from coming from the combine around 12:30, 12:45. And so I got to baggage claim as the press conference was starting. So I'm watching on the Eagles app and I'm tearing at the beginning. Obviously he's struggling to get things going, to get it off the ground. And, I'm getting emotional watching it. And, as he starts and then I get into my ride over here from the airport to the office and I'm tearing up in the back seat and then I'm able to come in and catch the last 8 to 10 minutes or so from the cafeteria, from the NovaCare complex with almost the entire Philadelphia Eagles organization watching on all the monitors in the cafeteria. And you could have heard a pin drop in that room as everybody was taking it in. And just and afterwards, Jason came in and, shook hands, high-fived, hugged basically everybody that was in the room, just kind of showing his appreciation to them and allowing everybody else to thank him as well for his contributions. And certainly like one of the most fascinating players that I've had the opportunity to be able to study and to cover over my 13 years here in Philadelphia. I mean, he got it. My first year was 2011. So, I remember that was the lockout year. So, the first time that players were allowed to work with the coaches was the first day of training camp that summer out at Lehigh, and that was my first day. And so, Jason walking in and becoming the starter, from the jump, just such a unique story as a sixth round pick. And as you mentioned, I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Before we get into the rest of this, let's go through some of those personal accolades. Obviously, it started, Super Bowl champion, a huge part of that Super Bowl in 2017. But take us through some of his personal accolades as well that he was able to rack up over his career.
Yeah, we'll start with the service. So 13 seasons, all with the Philadelphia Eagles, tied for the third most seasons in franchise history. 193 regular season games played, most by an offensive player in Eagles history, the second most in franchise history. The Ironman streak, 156 consecutive regular season games started, okay, and this dates back to the 2014 season and lasted through the end of his career. It's the longest such streak by any player in Eagles history.
And I believe it was the second longest in the NFL over that span, right? It was Jake Matthews.
Jake Matthews,
yes. The only one that was longer, yep.
Yes. So in terms of, you mentioned Super Bowl champion, 7 Pro Bowls, okay, tied for the second most in Eagles history, the most by any Eagles center. 6-time first team All-Pro. The only NFL center since 1970 to accomplish this and win a Super Bowl. You go to, more recently we have Pro Football Focus and the metrics that they provide, the grading service. He had an overall grade of 94.4 in the Super Bowl season. He talked about how, that 2017 campaign was personally so satisfying because it was the team's best season, winning the Super Bowl, being the first Eagles team to accomplish the feat, but also for himself having the best year of his career.
Yep.
Well, that 94.4 grade is the highest by any center in the scouting service's history. This dates back all the way to 2006. From 2017 to 2019, each of those 3 seasons, he was PFF's number one center. He graded as a top 4 center overall in 8 of his final 11 seasons. And he was graded as a top 4 center. This is going back out on top. He was a top 4 center in each of the past 3 years. So still at the top of his game, still can certainly play, but decides to go out on top. And on top of that, he was also, for his work off the field, and this is, you have to go, on Eagles social media, YouTube channel, Eagles app to find this video, when he was named the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year nominee for the Eagles, and the video that our Eagles entertainment team produced showcasing the people who he impacted over the years was truly outstanding. And I think this goes to what you mentioned, the connection that he had with the fans, and that, why he and Nick Sirianni seem to resonate so well is because what is coach's number one core value? Connect.
Sure.
And that's something that Jason Kelce did to me. The only other Eagles player in my time, and I'm going 2004 was my first year full time.
And you were here in 99.
So the only other player who I feel like had that same connection was Doc.
Yep.
the way that they understood what this team means to the fans, and vice versa, what the fans mean to this team. And I thought Kelsey's anecdote about Zach Ertz, the Cincinnati game in 2016, and he did the Ole block on Perfect, and then the next week came back and was tough to bring down. Because it's true, everyone did get on Zach for that, but he responded, and he eventually was the one who hauled in the championship, Super Bowl championship winning touchdown pass. So certainly the impact that Jason Kelsey has had on this franchise, you know, on the field, off the field. And to me, he's going to still be around.
Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere.
If you have not signed up for the Eagles Autism Challenge in May.
Yeah, right. Chance to say goodbye to
you want to say goodbye to Jason in person, you can still sign up now. And that is a tremendous, obviously a fantastic, fantastic organization, a great, great endeavor. But the access you get to the players, second to none. So certainly if you need that. And he's also going to have his Sea Isle Ocean Drive event later this summer. I think it may even be like a 2-day affair.
Something tells me that that'll have record numbers
that
this summer.
That is going to be off the freaking chart. It is going to be, that's going to be the retirement party for the ages right there.
So you hit on a bunch of his accolades there. You mentioned the amount of Pro Bowls. So seven Pro Bowls, six All-Pro nominations. And, last summer was when I decided I was going to do this Jason Kelsey project, the YouTube video that you alluded to earlier. And so I started my my look into what are his Hall of Fame accolades? And I went into it thinking it's really hard to get into the Hall of Fame as a center. You know, I don't know that he's definitely going to get in. And then after diving into some of the stuff, I'm like, he's a lock. He's going to get in. When you look at, he's made All-Pro, he's made All-Pro six times. He's one of six centers in NFL history to get at least four All-Pro nominations. One of just three since the merger, that center, to get All-Pro five times. All the rest of those guys on those two lists are already in the Hall of Fame. And so when you just look at it just from that, and that's the thing, is that when you go into Hall of Fame nominations for especially offensive linemen, but even across the board, All-Pro, Pro Bowl, All-Decade Team, all that stuff. And for this piece, I talked with Paul Domowicz, I talked with Mike Sando, I talked with a couple of people who have been in those rooms with those having those Hall of Fame deliberations, and what are the things that end up mattering and sway you one way or the other for one player? And they said, it's those personal accolades, and then believe it or not, like Super Bowl championships and like the amount of like winning teams you were on, and so him having that Super Bowl and also like being in many ways like the face of that team in 17, that is going to go. Yeah, but again, he's a lock to make it. But again, there's just so many things going back and watching C-Mac every snap of his career for that piece back in the summer and into the fall. It was so much fun because you could just see like all the different ways that he was able to impact the game, all of the different ways that various schemes and coaches were able to really lean into his strengths as a football player, which obviously starts with his athleticism and his toughness and all the different ways with which he was able to impact the game. Truly, there are very few guys at offensive line that you can call a weapon. I mean, Jason Kelsey was a weapon for this Eagles offense for 13 years.
More than 13,000 snaps
right
in the regular season. So,
well, that was what stood out to me. You talked about the PFF grade earlier. Mm-hmm. So he played, over the course of his career in that sample size, right? No one has had more pass snaps played than Jason Kelsey, okay? He's the highest graded pass blocker from PFF over that time. So not only had he played the most, but he was the highest graded over that time. Like, that does not happen. Again, you can get into like the validity of PFF grades, and especially with offensive line. But I think that kind of like speaks to what he has been for this team. And you can go and watch the piece for a lot of these numbers. But he was such a big part of when Chip Kelly got here. They ran those pin pull sweeps, right, where he's pulling out to the outside, and you have Todd Herrimans and Evan Mathis, blocking down on the nose tackle so that he can pin or so that he can pull. They ran for more yards on the pin pull than anybody over that time. You look at the screen game going into this season, and again, so much of my analysis started in the summer, so that's why I was like, all right, going into 2023, no team had created more yards after the catch on screen plays than the Eagles over the course of Jason Kelsey's tenure. Like, he obviously was such a big part of that. So it was block after block after block. It was hard to narrow it down to say like I don't know if this one's gonna make the cut. Just so many examples of him just being a monster on the move, and so many blocks that honestly I had forgotten about. You go back to the game against the Bucks down on the road. It was the Jeremy Maclin game when he touched down from Nick Foles. There was a screen to LeSean McCoy that went for, 60, 70 yards. And Jason Kelce was 30 yards downfield delivering a huge block on Mark Barron right around midfield, where he just tosses him to the ground in the middle. And you don't see that from offensive linemen that far downfield. And I think that, again, that just kind of speaks to what such a rare talent he was at the position.
It's also from as you're getting into draft talk and draft season and free agency is right on the horizon.
Yep.
It's okay. Jason Kelce is not for everyone because he was 280 pounds. Something that he acknowledged in his retirement speech, but the Eagles, to your point about him being a weapon, knew how to weaponize that and utilize that. And Howard Mudd, who came in those last couple of years with Andy Reid, wanted someone similar to Jeff Saturday who could get out on the move and have the athleticism. And Jason Kelce combined that with the toughness, football IQ, the intelligence, and also the work ethic in understanding that at times his career, because it wasn't like he came in, was all pro and was all pro every single year.
Yep.
He's making these all pros in the back half of his career after he admitted that he knew that he wasn't playing very good.
Yep.
His football wasn't at the highest level or at a satisfactory enough level that he was willing, thanks to Jeff Statlin, was willing to get in the lab and to fine tune the footwork, the hand placement, all those details that maybe are tough to see when you're watching the game on Sunday, but those are the things that make the difference between a guy coming from the college ranks and maybe making in the NFL versus being an all-pro and eventually a Hall of Famer. I mean, even the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I know. That, as soon as I saw that, I was like, yeah, he's
like, I had never seen it. And you talked about talking with guys like Damo and Sando, the guys who've been in the room, just play this retirement press conference yesterday.
Right.
Play that speech. He's it. He won anyone who may have been on the fence over, because just listening to it personally, I just said to myself, I would, how many things in life get you that emotional? He loved this game and what it brought him so much that he's opening about recalling, getting ready for, it sounded like an Oklahoma drill or something along those lines when he was 12 years old.
Yep.
Having such a visceral memory of that's how much he loved those little aspects of the game that it made him feel so alive. It's like, he talked about being a father, your father, makes me think of my two teenage boys. And it's like, you hope they find the things in life that make them that happy, that brings out that passion in them.
Yeah, and you mentioned the obviously him alluding to Howard Mudd, and he was the offensive line coach when the Eagles drafted him back in 2011. The relationship that he and Howard had before Jeff Stoutland came to the Eagles in 2013. To me, and looking at both Coach Stoutland and at Coach Mudd, the classic case of don't tell me. When you get this time of year, don't tell me what a guy can't do. Tell me what a guy can do to be able to help your football team. And when you look at Jason and the way that he was utilized within the structure of the offense, screen game, perimeter run plays, even the brotherly shove, having that kind of advantage in all of those different ways, the Eagles just constantly finding ways to be able to allow him to do things that others didn't. How many times do we see him, those little fold blocks where he's just pulling right behind an offensive lineman, the guard pinning down, and he's just pulling right for Jalen Hurts to run behind on a QB draw, or Darren Sproles on a draw play, right? We just saw so many of those kinds of plays over the years. And, again, to what you were saying, just a classic example of a coaching staff and a scouting department saying, okay, this is what a guy can do for us. Now, how do we best leverage that? And even going back to, doing the research for that piece back in the fall, tried to get as many clips from mic'd up segments and from sideline sound. The Eagles, we only started miking players up, I want to say it was 2013, so we missed those first couple of years where he was here with Howard Mudd. But we had lot of sideline sound from that time, you know, from NFL films and some of the stuff that we did on our own. And, you know, seeing some of those interactions between Jason Kelce and Howard Mudd, and sometimes they, like, the audio was a little fuzzy, so he couldn't, like, get it, and it wouldn't have made sense to, like, plug it into that piece. But you really got the sense, like, for a young player, and you saw some of the interactions between Andy Reid and Jason Kelce, where you were able to see, like, okay, they know, like, it's not going to be perfect. You know, you have a rookie center, second year center. You're trying to allow him to grow, and you would see, like, Howard Mudd kind of give him a knowing glance, like, hey, like, that wasn't perfect, but, like, you're going to get it next time. You've got this for next time. And, you know, the communication that Jason was able to have, the X's and O's talks that he was able to have with Coach Stoutland in, like, 2013, 2014. We heard about that over the years, was the classic conversations that those guys would have in the meeting room, not even just on the sideline, but in the meeting room during game plan meetings of, this is how we want to attack this defense this week. And those guys would just go on and on and on and on. And everybody else is in the room like, are we even here? Like, just these two guys having a one-on-one. You know, it's just, again, kind of speaks to his character and to, you know, the what he meant to this football team.
Yeah, just the longevity aspects. You know, one of the things before we jumped on here, I was just going to the Super Bowl and I was like, who are the guys from his rookie year who are still around for the Super Bowl? And it's BG,
yeah,
Brent Celek, Jason Peters.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, that's how quickly things turn around in this league.
It was only 6 years.
You know, and you added the guys like, you know, Fletcher Cox came in 2012.
Right after,
You know, there were guys who came in shortly thereafter, but still, just from that, you know, that 2011 season, that lockout year, it's just so remarkable. But the other thing that got to me was the value of the relationships. Mm-hmm. And he talked about one of his favorite things. And I think if you talk to a lot of guys, they miss Sundays. Guys who have retired, they miss Sundays. But during the week, they miss the camaraderie. They miss the locker room chats, the time in the cafeteria. And it seemed like, to me, Jason just got the most of all of those interactions. Like, he squeezed every drop out of his 13 years with the Eagles and, you know, building those relationships that he talked about will last a lifetime. It's just a good view of life overall. Try to maximize, you know, every opportunity that you have, because you may win at the end of the day, but if you don't have those people to celebrate those wins with, it's like, wow, what was it really all for? Just to say, oh, okay, I won this, but it's almost like it's not as satisfying unless you have those people around who you can, you know, celebrate the wins with, who are by your side.
And not just his peers, but even, you know, saying that to Kylie, to his wife, saying that not a coincidence that my best football happened when you were by my side.
That part was
outstanding,
amazing, yeah. Absolutely amazing. That's I feel like that second half of the speech is what spoke to me about the family and things along that nature. And that's I have so much respect for Jason because of the man he is. For as much as he did on the field and helping this team win its first Super Bowl and getting the team to another world championship appearance, you know, it's who he is outside of the field that is just so remarkable, especially for someone who has the profile that he has to still be as grounded as he is, to be as, you know, the everyman that everyone, everyone loves him. You know, their fans line up outside NovaCare with the keg and they were ready to tap the keg when he...
They were already there when I they were so, like, halfway through the speech, they were already outside, ready to go. So, they knew what was coming.
Yeah, so it's going to be different. It's going to be different in 2024 when you have a different player lining up at center for the Philadelphia Eagles. Because, again, it's not been a game since the 2015 campaign.
Yep.
You missed some time in 2014, okay? But since 2015 on, it's been all Jason Kelce at center. Through all the changes that this team has had, he has been one of the few steady constants over the last decade.
Since I've been doing, like, Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast, since I've been breaking down film here with the Philadelphia Eagles, he has been the starting center.
Yeah,
so
that's insane.
Yeah,
that's insane.
I thought that it was important. You know, obviously we're coming off the combine. There's a lot to talk about from the trip to Indianapolis, but I think we can kind of put that off for a few days and come back and address that. T-Mac, thanks so much for joining me to talk through Jason. And again, everybody can go check out PhiladelphiaEagles.com, the Eagles mobile app, the Eagles social channels. There's so much Jason Kelce content out there. I mean, there's whether it's print, you're looking for photo galleries, you're looking for best mic'd up moments. You can go and watch the YouTube the segment from the fall, just like the X's and O's breakdown. There's behind the scenes access, all the community stuff. You can find anything you want Jason Kelce related. You go check out the Eagles YouTube page, the Eagles mobile app, all the digital channels there. For C-Mac, I am Fran. We'll talk to you here in a couple weeks, or in a few days rather, I should say. Just recapping the combine, a lot to talk about from the trip to Indianapolis. We previewed it before the trip. We will recap it here in the coming days, right here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast.